actually, I want you to be thinking about these verses that I'm about to read and kind of be thinking about social media a little bit and think about your interactions online. Since that's going to be our focus today, just be thinking about that, and I'll pray for us and we'll get started. This is God's Word. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for this amazing truth that we cannot possibly fully comprehend. We thank you that you loved us enough, that you took on flesh and you came to this earth to save your enemies, to save those of us who hate you and often deny you and spit in your face and turn to other loves. We thank you that you're the one who reached out to us and opened our eyes and showed us our sin and our brokenness and pointed us to the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for these students now. I pray that you would help them to focus on biblical truth, to think about truth from your Scripture. As I pray every day, no doubt people are more tired today than they were yesterday. So I know it can be a challenge to focus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would wake them up, that you'd help them to think specifically about their interactions today on social media and how that relates to their insecurities. I pray that as we discuss some of these things and as I ask some pointed questions, that it would not be to shame these students or guilt trip anyone in here, but to expose their sin, but to at the same time know that you welcome repentant sinners, that you love to embrace broken sinners. So I pray that in the midst of possibly being exposed, feeling exposed here today, that it would only encourage students to run into your arms and to feel your love and understand your love more deeply. So please use this time now. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, well, as I said, today we're going to be talking about social media as we look at part two of characteristics of insecurity. Before we get into that, how about some quick review? If any of you want to raise hands and share a few things that have kind of resonated with you over the past few days. And just as you, I'm going to ask this again tomorrow. This is the way I always start because there's always that awkward pause as I throw that out and nobody says anything. So just be prepared for tomorrow too, because I don't want to just be like, hey you, what did you learn yesterday? This is a class on insecurity. I don't want to do that to somebody, right? So look, anything that's resonated with you over the past couple of days? Is that a handoff? Nope. There it is. Awkward silence. Did anybody listen to anything I said? Yeah, thanks.
About how you judge people if you decide whether or not they're good.
Great, thank you for that. Favoritism, remember, it's offensive, like James was talking about, because we're not loving our neighbors as ourselves, but it's more offensive because it attempts to dethrone God and enthrone us. It puts us in the place of God, and we judge others, and we're the ones who determines what greatness is and attribute it to other people. Good, so favoritism, and that just ends up feeding insecurities in our hearts. Yeah.
I think it was really interesting how you put that. Made a point to say that insecurity is a sin. Because I think a lot of people think about it as being something like good, it's secure, but really it's self-centered. It's focusing so much on yourself that
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Yeah, just saying that insecurity is a sin, that our sins, plays a part in that. Because as we said, we don't want to just think that insecurity is some kind of character flaw. Like worry, I said as well, is just some kind of character flaw. It is a sin, and the sin that's in our heart impacts this. And so we need to see areas in which we need to repent of this as well. So, yeah, thanks for that. Anything else? Yeah.
I liked when you were talking about talents, and you said the reason that we call it a gift for all the talented people is because there is a giver.
Good. Yeah, that's something, as we were talking about favoritism and how we can worship other people and talking about talents and gifts that other people have, it's just a reminder that there's a giver of the gift. We're not worshiping the person. We've got to be cautious of that, because we will come across people in our lives that are uniquely gifted in many different areas. Instead of worshiping the person, we're worshiping the giver of the gift. Good. Thank y'all for speaking up. So look, tomorrow, just be prepared, a few of you. Raise your hands, say something. We've talked about many characteristics associated with insecurity. I wanted to focus on four today. These are some of the ones. Fear and favoritism we talked about yesterday, and how our sins associated with our insecurity. And then, if you remember, I said those three things, again, from Mike Inwood's book. We're a saint, a sinner, and a sufferer. So we're also sufferers, and there's pain associated with our insecurities. But I specifically want to look at these four through the lens of social media today. So really what I'm going to do a lot today is be asking you a lot of questions. And I'd love it if you wrote those down, just to reflect on these later. And let me say this too. First, we're going to talk about fear. Two things up front. One, I'm not anti-technology. All right, I'm using a microphone, a computer, and a projector right now to teach this class. I have a smartphone. I have social media platforms. I think technology is a gift from God, but we've got to steward it well. So as I say some of these things and talk about some things, I don't want you to think or hear me say technology is the devil, okay? Secondly, everyone in this room struggles in the same way. And I mean teenagers as well as your youth workers as well as your parents. So I'm not picking on teenagers here. We all struggle. But look, as we talked about fear yesterday, and there's many intricacies associated with fear, here one aspect of fear is approval. All right, one aspect of fear is approval. That is, we feel fear when our approval is at risk. Or to say it this way, disapproval causes fear. So listen to these questions. What do you think of me when I wear these clothes? What are they saying about me when I'm not in the room? Did they have a private group message without me? When I post this picture, how many likes will I get? Why do I not have more followers? All of these questions have the desire for approval connected to them, and the fear of disapproval. This book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, and I realize I have that wrong in the title, I did smartphone, but it's 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. How many of you have read this book in here? Anybody? It's a good book. Unfortunately, they sold out of it in the bookstore. But there's this place called Amazon. I don't know if y'all heard of it. You can order books from Amazon. I'd encourage you to get this book. It's a really good book. One that they do have, and I forgot to say this in the first class, is The Next Story by Tim Challies. This has been out for a while. I can't remember if it was maybe 2006 when this was written, maybe a little bit later. But this is an excellent book as well. And I mean, it's cheaper than 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. $7.97 in the bookstore. So I'd encourage you to pick up this book. But in this book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, Tony Reinke says this. He says, the sad truth is that many of us are addicted to our phones because we crave immediate approval and affirmation. We post an image, then watch the immediate response. We refresh. We watch the stats climb or stall. This draws us towards our phones. So Tony Reinke is saying that much of our addiction to our smartphones is rooted in this desire for approval. Or to state it in the negative, the fear of disapproval. And again, I'm a struggler in this as well. I'm not above any of this. I want to continue to say that as I'm saying these things. But what happens when you get zero likes? If that's ever happened to you. Or not as many likes as this person. Or no more followers. This is also discussed in a book called The Happiness Effect. There's one more copy of this book, I think, in the bookstore. But this is a book by Donna Freitas. And basically what she did, she traveled around the United States to different college campuses. And she met with hundreds of college students. So think, and these are people just a few years older than many of you in this room. And I think she was actually doing research for something else, but she said as she kept talking to these college students, the theme of happiness continued to come up. And so she calls this the happiness effect. And basically what she means by that is this. She says, it's the importance of appearing happy even when you're not happy. That is, it became more important for these college students to just look like they were happy, even though they were depressed on the inside. And so that's what she's discussing in this book. And so she has this quote here. It says, posting on social media is rarely ever innocent. You don't post simply because you feel like it or because you're just employing your right to self-expression. You post with at least the slight hope, if not the profound one, that everyone will see your post and respond positively. No response or a negative one can render you miserable. So you hear what she's saying. Often when we post, we are hoping for major likes in the positive direction. And we think this is where our happiness will find its fulfillment. However, when we don't get any likes, we're devastated. Or if we don't get as many likes as we hoped, or as many likes as this person. And she said, you know, she kept talking to these college students. They confessed, look, we don't want to be concerned with this, but we are. And so every student didn't want to care about this, but they couldn't help but care about how many likes they got. So obviously, you can hear the insecurity here. The fear and insecurity is fed, look, through social media every day, with every post, with every scroll, every time you're pulling your phone out, your purse or your pocket, you're often feeding your insecurities. Because you're longing for this. Again, not trying to beat you up. I just want you to see this. So that was fear. Now let's think about favoritism. And here's a question just off the bat. I'd love for you to think about, to write down. Why do you like some people's pictures, but not others? Why do you like some people's pictures, but not others? Why do you follow some people, but not others? Some of you in this room might not even look at what a certain person is posting, but because of their social status, maybe they're a very popular person, you just see that they posted a picture and you just immediately like it. Because you know they can help your reputation. Or if you don't like it, they're going to be upset with you and they can hurt your reputation. And so some of you like their posts because you want them to like your posts in return, right? If you like enough people's pictures, they're going to start liking the things that you're sharing on Instagram. And so all of this to say that favoritism is often displayed through social media, and that feeds our insecurity. Here's some hard questions to think about in light of this. And just the broad question, what makes someone popular at your school or church? Like, get the most popular person at your school or your youth group in your mind. Why are they popular? Is it their looks, their athleticism, their humor? And we talked about some of these yesterday. Here's one we didn't talk about. Is it their wickedness? Is that why they're popular? And I know that can sound kind of strange, but think about this. As we said yesterday, or the first day, every one of us has sin in our hearts. And our sin is attracted to rebellion. There's part of our hearts that likes rebellion and likes wickedness. And that can make somebody popular. Because they're the rebellious student. They're the one who doesn't seem to care what the teacher thinks or whatever. And so they become popular. Another question. Whose posts are you typically liking? Or who are you following? What do your likes and your followers say about you? Why do you love to like certain people's posts? What is it about certain people's posts that you just love to like all the time. You're just always going to like this person's post. Maybe you won't like this other person's post. And so, whose post do you hate? Why do you hate it when certain people put a picture on Instagram? What makes you roll your eyes every time you're scrolling through Instagram and you see that person posting that? Look, how are you judging people when they post certain things? You have to be cautious of your thoughts and your hearts as you're on social media and you're thinking these things. Listen, again, as I'm saying, I'm not immune to this. Typically, about 3 times a year, I deactivate all of my social media platforms. I don't delete them, you know, because you lose all the friends and all that stuff. But I deactivate them and don't get on them. Because sometimes I find that I am judging people. I'm just kind of looking through and I don't even realize it. And then I'm realizing that I'm getting angry and I'm realizing, wow, I've got these judgmental thoughts going on. I just need to take a break from it. And so I get away from it. But you've got to be thinking about your thoughts towards others on social media. Again, they reveal a lot about your heart and mind. Listen to Jesus Christ in Matthew 6:25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Now, Jesus Christ is talking about being anxious and talking about worrying about frivolous things, but he gives us some helpful perspective here. Because life, he's saying, is more than just food and clothing. Look, so much of what you're concerned about is fading away. So much of, you know, the importance of popularity and why somebody's popular or not is just plain foolish what we base it on. And Jesus Christ is kind of exposing just this temporal stuff that we're so focused on so often. So not only do we have to be cautious of our favoritism because how it affects, most importantly, our relationship to God. That is, we end up worshiping people over God. But you have to see how favoritism breeds insecurity in your own heart. So please see this on Snapchat, on Instagram, on Twitter, wherever you are, how it's feeding this insecurity. And now discussing our sin associated with this. You remember the positive to labeling insecurity as a sin. So we said Jesus Christ defeated sin. So there's a sense in which your insecurity is already defeated. So that's kind of the encouraging aspect of that. But let's see how our sin is manifested through social media. And I think one of the best questions that you can ask anytime you're on any social media platform is this. Why? Why are you about to post that? Why are you about to put that picture on Instagram? Are you posting that picture because you want people to worship your image? Is it because, look, you've been working so hard for that beach body. Now let's show it to everybody and let them worship it. Look, are you about to post that picture because, look, you think you're hilarious? And you want everybody else to think you're hilarious. Because we need to be reminded that, you know, social media, it's in front of an audience all the time. So even if you're in your room by yourself, you're performing in front of people. Through the image you're putting out, through the hilarious tweet you're about to send out, why are you about to send it out? Are you posting that picture because you want to appear super spiritual? You know, the selfie of having the devotion. Not saying that's always wicked or anything like that. But I had a seminary professor who said how many times he would have, you know, a tweet that he was about to, you know, tweet. And he would say, wait, why am I about to do this? Why am I about to send this out? Am I wanting people to be impressed with my knowledge? Am I wanting people to be impressed with my spirituality? And so he told the class, he said, I can't tell you how many times I've deleted tweets that I was about to send out. So just stopping and asking why before you post something is a helpful question. And then look, what are you thinking when you're on social media? When you read that person's post, are you judging them in your heart? Is their post fostering feelings of hatred or dislike? What about this on Instagram? Are you endlessly scrolling through pictures of a guy you think is hot? or a girl you think is hot, just endlessly scrolling through those pictures, and listen, lusting after them. And just stating the obvious here, that might not always be obvious, lust is a sin. Jesus Christ bled and died on a cross for lust. So it's not something we need to take lightly, like it's this innocent thing scrolling through these pictures. We've got to be cautious. But then kind of the other end of the spectrum, some people get creeped out by that. I think that's so weird to think somebody's just scrolling through my pictures. Why did you put them on the World Wide Web? Like where everybody can see them. And why did you put yourself, you know, picture of yourself in a bikini? Like, what do you think, you know, the thousands of followers are going to do? Not look at it? I mean, it's out there. So be thinking, you know, what are you thinking through all of this? Another question, why aren't you reacting to their post or picture? Are you withholding approval because you don't want them to feel happy or accepted? You kind of feel like you have this power over this person, so you're not going to like their picture. Or you're going to like it on occasion. Look, why aren't you responding to their text on your phone? Are you intentionally delaying a response to the text because you want to appear busy or too important for them? Here's another one. Why did you leave them out of your picture? Or why did you post that picture with that guy or that girl? Were you doing it to foster jealousy in another person's heart? Did you plan a group photo because you knew others were going to see it and be hurt that they weren't invited to this party? Again, remember the verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Our hearts are so desperately sick. We've got to be reminded. And so when these smartphones get in our hands and these social media platforms are in our hands, we can abuse them and do great damage. Somebody tell me, what's the greatest commandment? Let me try that again. Somebody tell me, what's the greatest commandment? There you go. I can always do like, but I can like parts of it. So that, yes, that was right. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, let's try this one. What's the second greatest? Good job. You're just like the first group. To love our neighbor as ourselves. So look, how are you loving your neighbor on social media? There's a book actually called I Gods by Craig Detweiler in the bookstore. He said, and this was something interesting I thought, that we should even be cautious when we go on vacation, for example, and take a selfie of us like just hanging out at the beach, you know, enjoying a good book in front of the ocean and saying, you know, loving my vacation in Florida. And your friend sees that in the office on their smartphone. And they're like, I'm in the office working this entire week and they're out at the beach. You know, he's just saying we've got to be cautious of loving our neighbor. We've got to be very discerning in how we're sharing things. Look, if we're truthful, we're often so reckless and thoughtless on social media. But as a lover of Jesus Christ, we cannot take this lightly. We've got to be discerning in what all we're sharing. We should be striving by the Spirit to love our neighbor online, to treat others how we want to be treated, to be sensitive to how other people will react. But we also need to see, again, how this is all fostering insecurity in our own hearts. Because when we treat people sinfully online, those thoughts begin to manifest in our own hearts and make us insecure. And so, look, we end up sinning against God, and then we're sinning against our neighbor, but then we're suffering from it. And so you just see the wisdom of God there, that He calls us to love Him first and to love others. And He knew that was for His glory and for our good. And when we break those commandments, we actually end up suffering for it. And so we need to see that, and that gets us to pain. I know this is cheesy, tweet others as you want to be tweeted. But it kind of goes along with what we're talking about. Because social media, as I said, can be fun, can foster joy and unity and some kind of fellowship. But there's also a lot of pain associated with social media. There's a lot of bullying. Yik Yak, which we're about to talk about in Ask FM. And yeah, the fear of missing out, FOMO. I mean, that's something we're going to actually talk about just a little bit tomorrow. But many of you have heard of Yik Yak and other platforms, anonymous platforms like this, Ask FM. This message is supposed to pop up when you get near a school. It says, it looks like you're using this at a high school or middle school, which is not allowed. Sending and reading messages is disabled. And I think this is called geofencing, where it blocks people from using this app near a school because there's been so much bullying that has led to suicide because of Ask FM and Yik Yak. And I shared this in the first class, and some of y'all might have heard me say this. There's a girl on, I think it was Ask FM. People told her to drink bleach, to go get cancer, and to die. And so she did. She took her life. And after I shared that, a girl came up to me in the first session and said, when she was 12, one of her classmates took her life because of bullying on social media. And so she was just saying, thank you for sharing that, because I feel like that's not talked about a lot. And she said, I mean, this girl was telling me, again, this is one 12-year-old telling me that, you know, this other 12-year-old had taken her life 2 years ago. And said, you know, she talked to this girl and she just said, hey, are you okay? You seem like a little off. And she said, I'm great. And then took her life a few days later because, again, of some of this going on online. And so there's a lot of pain associated with social media, specifically these anonymous apps. Look, if anonymous apps teach us anything, it's the depravity of humanity. You know, if somebody wants to argue that, hey, mankind's naturally good, I just want to take them to some of these message boards. All right, let's go on to Ask FM, and you just tell me mankind's naturally good. And so here's what I want you to see, because I know some people, and actually this gets into the happiness effect in that book. There's an entire chapter on bullying. Some people make the case that anonymous apps actually foster freedom and more, you know, deeper honesty than other places. But it seems to foster more bullying and wickedness than anything else. Because here's where the Bible leads us, all right? And this is where I'm basing my case on this. First, God created words. We clearly see that in Scripture, right? In the beginning, God starts speaking and creating. He's created words. They belong to Him. And let me just do a quick side note here off of that. Look, if you're loose with your language, and you use obscenities all the time, and you call yourself a Christian, you need to be convicted by that. And I'm speaking to you as one who used a lot of bad language in high school. And it wasn't until later that I was convicted of that because one of my friends called me out on it. And so I'm saying that to you now. Those words are not yours to use and abuse how you want. And your tongue does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. And if you call yourself a Christian, you've got to be cautious of how you talk. And so look, that was a brief account off my soapbox. Now back onto the app. Look, God created the words. They belong to Him. The best communication that He designed is face-to-face. To look in each other's eyes and to share things. And so words are not supposed to be separated from their source. And so even as we've seen advancements in technology, so look, like paper and pen was an advancement in technology, where people wrote things and then they signed it and then they delivered it to somebody else. So that was separated from face-to-face communication, but their name was still attached to it. And so when we remove our names from things, it's sinful by design. I think these anonymous apps are just sinful by design. Because, again, we're using words and abusing them, and we're separating ourselves from this. And so I think it goes against the way God has created speech to take place. My senior pastor actually shared this with me years ago when he was first starting out in the ministry, and this just kind of shows you the brokenness of churches. Somebody wrote him a letter and just kind of ripped him to pieces in the letter. And critiqued him and said a lot of things they didn't like about him, and they left it anonymous. They didn't sign their name to it. And that was early on. He said it just, you know, hurt him extremely. He just felt so beat up from that. So he's just taking a policy that whenever he gets a letter that's anonymous, like he'll open it up from his box in his church, you know, open it up, and he'll look, and if there's no name, he throws it straight in the garbage. And I think that's the right thing to do. Because we don't need to separate our names from our communication. And so look, if you're on Ask FM or Yik Yak, get off of it. I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a helpful thing. And I'm pretty sure many of you in this room who have been on it can testify to the fact that you've been hurt on it.
in some way, or you know someone that's been hurt on it. So look, what does all this have to do with insecurity? Well, oftentimes our harsh words and actions are a result of our own insecurities. People will sin against you, and their sin may foster insecurity in you, and that's painful. We'll talk about how to deal with that. But you also need to be aware that if someone is making your life miserable, most of the time they're living out of their own misery. They're insecure, and they're trying to knock you down a few notches just to bolster their own security. So I say this addressing the possible victims in this room. If somebody's bullying you, you have to know they are incredibly insecure. And they're functioning out of their own brokenness and their own misery. But I also say that to address the possible bullies in this room. If you're a person who constantly mocks other people at school, constantly mocks other people at church, through social media or otherwise, much of your motivation is actually through your own insecurities. And I'm not saying that to pick on you and bully you as well, but to help you understand your insecurities. Because some bullies think that their security lies in the fact of always having the upper hand, of always mocking another person, of always knocking them down so they can have the upper hand. But security is not found there. So look, as we draw this to a close, I want you to see that social media can be a good thing, can be a fun thing, but it can also be a very dark place. And God calls us to be children of the light. So look, as we're thinking about pain and social media and how it's related to insecurity, I want you to be thinking about how you can create peace through social media. Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons and daughters of God." If you're someone here that knows bullying is taking place, if you participate with others in mocking someone online and making their lives miserable, I'm calling you to be a peacemaker. You need to know Jesus Christ is calling you to be a peacemaker. So it may be that being a peacemaker is calling you to rebuke one of your friends for the way that they're treating other people online. Or if you see that gossip is taking place, you know, online, or you know, if it's in a private group message and this person is unaware that this is going on, I'm calling you to be a peacemaker by disrupting that and saying, look, we call ourselves followers of Jesus. We shouldn't be talking like this. And I know that's absolutely going to get you ridiculed and mocked by your friends. But I'm positive this is what we're called to do. You're not always going to be best friends with everyone in your church and school, but you're called to create peace and not pain. So look, I hope you've seen how these, you know, four, you know, fear, favoritism, our sin and our pain, how it can be filtered through our social media. I hope, if anything, it hasn't created, you know, shame or guilt in your heart unless it's moving you to the cross. And that Jesus Christ paid for that. But I want you to see, to be more discerning as you're using, you know, your smartphones. I mean, look, I think it was last Friday, or the Friday before last, was the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone. So this is very new technology that we're still learning about how to deal with, you know, how to use as Christians. So I hope that some of this is creating some discernment in your hearts on how you get on this. These various platforms. So look, tomorrow we're going to get into combating our insecurities. How do we fight our insecurities? How do we overcome some of these insecurities? We're going to be looking at some of those questions tomorrow. So let me go ahead and pray for us. Father God, we thank you so much for sustaining us through the night, for giving us another day on your earth, for giving us breath right now, for giving us hearts that are beating. We thank you for the gift of technology. We thank you for how much fun it can be at times. But Lord, I'm positive that everyone in this room has felt pain online, has been sinned against online, has sinned against others online. So I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would move in these students' hearts to help them use social media with discernment. Be cautious about that. So I pray for those in here who are feeling guilty over some of the ways that they've done things online. I pray that you help them run to you to be reminded that you love to welcome repentant sinners, that you will embrace them.
Lord, I pray for those students who did not listen to a word that I said in this class and who talked while I was up here. Pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would help them to see the love of Christ and that you would bring God-honoring conviction to them so they would turn to you and repent of that. That you would help them to see the importance of this, Lord. And help us all by your grace to strive to be peacemakers on this earth. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.